Morning, everyone. Today's Daf is Pesachim, Daf Gimel. We started yesterday the new Masechta, the new Mishnah. And the Mishnah started with the word or Larbasar. Now we all know, we're all in agreement, that the word or in this context means the night of the 14th. And so what the Gemara spent the time today doing yesterday is arriving at that conclusion. How do we know that the word or means the night? Now the Gemara started off with a question, my or. So what exactly does or mean? And the Gemara started off with two opinions, Rav Huna Amar Nage, Rav Yehuda Amar Leili. Now the Gemara telegraphed its punch. The Gemara told us yesterday that we think that they mean it literally, meaning that according to Rav Yehuda, or means the day, and according to Rav Huna, the word or means day, and according to Rav Yehuda, the word or means night. And then the Gemara quoted yesterday. Gemara quoted first eight psukim throughout Tanakh, Breishis, Shmuel, Tehillim, Iyov, just basically flexing its Tanakh muscle. And basically every single time that the Torah describes the word or, it refers to day. So which the Gemara sometimes deflects, the Gemara sometimes suggests that when the word or as an adjective refers to illuminate, but the word or by itself means actually night. That's what the Gemara suggested. By the way, do you notice what's the Aramaic word for night? The Aramaic word for night is orta. Right? Anyone made that observation? So I was thinking about it yesterday. In other words, the Aramaic word for night is orta, which means basically that the word or, which we're going to translate means to be night, basically turned into the Aramaic form of orta. But anyway, if you go to the Gemara quoted Pesukim in Tanakh, so they all indicate that the word or means day, but then the Gemara quoted Brisos and Mishnayos, and time and again, you see that in the Brisa, when the Brisa says the word or, it means night. Or means night in the context of Brisas and Mishnayos. And the Gemara a number of times already said Shema Mina, meaning we know that when our Mishnah said the word or, Larbasar, we know that it means the night of. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go over a couple more Mishnayos and a couple more Brisos throughout Shas to show us that the word or actually means night when used in the context of a Mishnah and the Brisa. And then basically what we're going to do again, as we did yesterday, is we're going to conclude that our Mishnah means the night of the 14th we're going to do Bedikah, and then the Gemara is going to go on to discuss today how we should speak. Meaning, why did the Mishnah choose the word or, as opposed to saying Leil, which is really more accurate, and we're going to get into a great Gemara today in terms of how we should speak to one another, and how careful we should be about our speech. Just a quick reminder, we started the new Masechta, which means that we're in Pesachim, and we are discussing the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. We look for Chametz. Remember what we talked about yesterday. Why is there a mitzvah midrabanan to be Bodei Chametz? Why do we have to check for Chametz? So Rashi says, so that I won't violate the Isser of the Torah, Ba Yirah, Ba Yimatzah. We know by Chametz, there are three Isser in the Torah. One is that you're not allowed to eat Chametz on Pesach. The second is you're not allowed to get benefit from Chametz on Pesach. And the third is that we're not allowed to own Chametz on Pesach. There are three separate Yisurim by Chametz. So Rashi says that the reason why we have to be Bodek is so that we do not violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzah. If you remember Tosfos yesterday, first Tosfos of the Masechta says, I do not understand Rashi. How can it be that that we're really concerned about Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzah? Because if that was our concern, the solution would be very simple. Bittul. All you need to do is just nullify the Chametz and you're no longer the owner of the Chametz and be done with it. And if the whole Bedikah is just required to obviate, to sidestep the issue, Ba'yira Ba'yamatzah, so don't do Bedika, just do a simple bittul. This was Tosus' question. And Rashi Tosus therefore offers his own pshat. Why is there a mitzvah of Bedika's Chametz? So Tosus says, because if I leave Chametz around the house, and even if I did bittul, what's going to happen over Pesach is I'm going to see Chametz in my house, and I'm going to get tempted, and I may come to eat it. So I do Bedika on Erev Pesach, so that I search and destroy all the Chametz in my house, so I do not have any Chametz in my house, because if I do, I may end up finding it and eating it. Tosfos quotes a Gemara later on, which really speaks to this idea that the whole purpose of Bedika is so that I may come to eat it, not Isra of Ba'yira Ba'yamatzah, but rather it's just a simple Isra of Achila. Tosfos quotes a Gemara later on, which seems to indicate that this is in fact so. Tosfos then gives us another fundamental principle, which we went over yesterday as well. Why Chametz? Meaning, why is there a requirement of search and destroy by Chametz? It's an Isra. Okay, there are a lot of things that are also in the Torah. Basa b'chalav is asr. And not only is basa b'chalav asr, it's asr b'hanai. You're not allowed to get benefit from meat and milk that's cooked together. And meanwhile, there's no mitzvah of search and destroy when it comes to basa b'chalav. So why by chametz is there a mitzvah of search and destroy? So Tosfos says, because we're so habituated to eating chametz, right? 51 weeks out of the year, chametz is mutter. And then on Pesach, chametz now becomes aser. We are creatures of habit. What we may end up doing is, absentmindedly, haphazardly, we may eat the chametz on Pesach. So therefore, the chachamim give us a special mitzvah that we are going to be bodek. We're going to search and destroy the chametz out of our house just so that we don't fall into our normal habit of eating chametz. Okay, that was what we discussed yesterday. That was the basics. And now we are continuing. We're on the very bottom of Beis Amud Beis and Meisveg. We're going to do this again. Meisveg Marzucha, we're going to quote now another Mishnah. Hamapels Or L'Shmonim Ve'Echad. A woman miscarries on the eve of the 81st. Here's what we need to know. A woman after she gives birth, we're going to talk about it after she gives birth to a female. You're going to see we're talking about she gave birth to a female, to a girl, just because we need the numbers. So the halacha is that after she gives birth to a girl, so she is tamei for 14 days, and then for the next 66 days, she is what's called, those are what's called yemei tahara. Those are days of purity. Now, that's not exactly a precise way of describing what she is. During those next 66 days, she's actually not totally tahor. Halachically, she has the status of what's called a tvul yom, meaning that basically it's as if she toveled in the mikvah, but she can't walk into the base of mikvah, she can't eat karban. Okay, yemei tahara, why does Torah refer to her as a yemei tahara? The answer is very simple, because during those days she can be with her husband, even if she is bleeding. Okay, this is what's called Dam Tor. So the Gaonim, we already have a minhag that was started by the Gaonim, that we don't, that a husband is not with his wife during Yemei Tahara. Okay, that's a minhag amongst the, that was already started by the Gaonim. But anyway, for those next 66 days, she could be with her husband. And, okay, unlikely, I understand, but it's possible that she can get pregnant. And it's possible that she can have a miscarriage during her Yemei Tahara. Right, or Rashi refers to these days as a malos. However you want to describe it, it's possible. We know, the halach is, you can look at Rashi, I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now together, but we know that if, God forbid, she miscarries during her malos, so she does not need to bring a new karbon. Every time a woman has a baby, even if it's not a successful baby, even if, God forbid, it is it's a miscarriage, she has to bring a karbon for every baby that she had. So, one would imagine that if she had a miscarriage during her malos, so she has to bring a karbon for the first baby that she had, the girl that she had, and she also has to bring a karbon for the baby that she had during the malos. Rashi points out, it's based on psukim, that that's not so. That her one karbon that she brought for the first baby, for the girl, also will satisfy the miscarriage that she had as well, so it's only going to be one karbon for both. What if she had a miscarriage after the 80th day? Let's say she had a miscarriage on the 81st day. So then she's going to have to bring a new karbon. A karbon for the first girl that she had, and a karbon for the miscarriage on the 81st. Okay, all that is straightforward, cut and dry. What if she had a miscarriage on the eve of the 81st? So here you could say, you can argue one of two ways. So over here you can argue it's after the malos. Meaning, when is the malos finished? The malos finishes at the end of the 80th day. So that means now on the eve of the 81st day, she's no longer in the period of the malos. So therefore, if, God forbid, she had a miscarriage on the eve of the 81st, she'll have to bring another karbon for the miscarriage. That's one argument you can make. On the other hand, wait a second. In other words, when does anyone bring a karbon? Only during the day. Meaning there is no karbon that's brought at night. So in other words, maybe you can argue that the miscarriage is not going to generate another karbon unless a miscarriage occurs during a time when she can actually bring a karbon. So you could make the argument that if she miscarries on the eve of the 81st, since it's not a zman karbon, so therefore she's still within the time period of the malos, and therefore she will not have to bring a new karbon for the nafal that she just experienced. In general, yes. But in other words, but over here, she hasn't entered into this new karbon period. So what becomes of this? It turns into a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Amapels Or L'Shmonim Ve'Echad. Now, by the way, the whole reason why we're bringing this over here is because the Braisa uses the word or, which in the context of our discussion clearly means night. Okay, the point's being made, but let's just finish up this braisa. Amapelser l'shmonim ve'achat. So she miscarries on the eve of the 81st. So Beishameh potrim mi karban. So Beishameh says she doesn't have to bring another karban, meaning the one karban she's going to bring for the girl she had 80 days ago is going to satisfy also this miscarriage that she just had. Well, Beisil mechayven, and Beisil says you're chayv. One of those rare opportunities, rare examples where Beis Hillel comes out to be more machmen than Beishameh. Now, Amru Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, a dialogue. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, Maishna, or Shmonim Ve'echad, Miyom Shmonim Ve'echad. What's the difference? Meaning, I don't see the difference between her miscarrying on the eve of the 81st or the day of the 81st. Im Shiva Lo L'Tuma, Lo Yishra Lo L'Karban, meaning in the world of Tuma, it's a new state of Tuma. Meaning that the birth that she had will result in... Again, if we know the gender, so then we're going to follow the gender. If it was a girl that she miscarried, so then it's going to be 14 days of Tumah followed by 66 days of Tahara. If it's a male she miscarried, so it's 7 days of Tumah, 33 days of Tahara. And if we don't know, so the Gemara Nida says we're going to be Machmir on both ends. She'll be 14 days of Tumah, and then 40 minus 14 of Tahara. Either way, the point is that it's going to be a new state of Tumah. So it's a vis-a-vis Tumah Sleda.
7 and 66.
7 and 66. No, what? No, it'll 14. No, if we're going to be Machmer both ways, it's going to be 14 days of Tumah and 14 minus 40. 20, what is it, 26? They get shortened on both ends. L'chumra. Come back to me after. We'll go over it after. So lo yishra lo lekarban. So mid the kamer beis ala beis shamai. Okay, and that's beis ala argument, and beis shamai counter argues. And you could take a look at Rashi. Rashi goes through the counter argument again. It's not we're not nida right now. The point that we're really interested in right now is that word or. So mid the kamer beis ala beis shamai maishna or shmona ve'achad miyom shmona ve'achad. I mean, you just see it in the dialogue. I mean, truth of the matter is, you saw it even before the dialogue. But you see it in the dialogue. What's the difference between or and yom? Okay, so we're contrasting night versus day. So shmamina or tohu shmamina. So again, the Gemara says another conclusive proof. Meisvei. And here we go again. Right, this is now, if I'm not mistaken, if I kept score correctly, this is now the third time where the Gemara said shmamina, and then we're back to more discussion. So meisvei yachol yeinach or lishlishi. I might have thought the following, that my carbon shlamim, now we know the halacha, the Torah is very clear that the carbon shlamim is eaten for 2 days. Okay, so when I bring the carbon shlamim, so I, the owner of the carbon shlamim, allowed to eat the meat, the portions of the carbon shlamim that I give to the Kohen, portions of the carbon shlamim that go up in the Mizbeach, right, I don't know who says this, that's why it's called the shlamim, because it's like, it's peace, it's real peace, everyone gets a part. Mizbeach gets a part, Kohanim get a part, you get a part, okay. So that's peace. So anyway, but you get to eat the carbon for 2 days. The Torah says on the day that you bring it, umi macharaso, and the next day as well. Now here's what I would have thought. The Gemara expresses a havamina, and that is that I can eat it today, tonight, tomorrow night. That's the havamina. Legitimate havamina. V'dinu zvachim nechalim yom acharu shlamim nechalim l'shnei yamim. Because look, some carbonos are only eaten for 1 day. Some carbonos are eaten for 2 days. And the argument is very simple. For the carbon that's eaten 1 day, what does that mean 1 day? It means today and tonight. So the carbon that's eaten for 2 days, that would mean 2 days and the subsequent 2 nights. That's a havamina, it's a wonderful havamina. Tamalam Rabbi Yom Zivchachem Yeachel, Umi Macharas, Vehanosar Ad Yom. And what happens, Vehanosar Ad Yom, it becomes Nosar, meaning after the 2 days are over, so now that the carbon is given the title of Nosar, the meat is called Nosar. Nosar means literally leftover, but Nosar means that we're not allowed to eat it. In fact, the consumption of Nosar is a Chiyuv Kares. It's one of the 36 Chiyuv Kares that I mentioned in the first Mishnah in Krisus. In the meantime, however, why are we quoting this now? So, Be'od Yom Hu Nechal, Ve'eino Nechal Le'or Shlishi. And this is why we're quoting this Braisa. Because the Braisa says, when do I not eat the Karbon Shlamim? On the eve of the third day. So once again, you see that the word or means night. So on the eve of the third day. Yachol yisarif miyad. Good. So now I know that I'm not allowed to eat the shlamim on the eve of the third day. So I might have thought, okay, so that means now that, let's say I offer the carbon today, shlamim today. Today's Sunday. So I'm allowed to eat my carbon today, Sunday, tonight, right, Sunday night, right, the eve of Monday, and I'm going to eat my carbon also tomorrow, Monday as well. Fine. Here's what I might have thought. I might have thought now that Monday night, we've now concluded based on Psukim that I cannot eat it. So maybe it should be given noser status tomorrow night. Meaning maybe I can burn it as noser tomorrow night. Vidinhu. And again, the Gemara says, makes sense. Zvachem ne'echam le'yom v'layla. Le'yom v'layla echad. Ushlamim ne'echam le'shnei yamim v'layla echad. Ma'lahalan tekev la'achila sreifa. Avkan tekev la'achila sreifa. Meaning, let's take a one-day carbon, like a chatas. Okay, good example. So I buy a carbon chatas, so I only eat it for one day. And the following night. When does it become noser? After the Zman Achila. Immediately after the Zman Achila becomes noser. So, by my Shlamim, one can make the very same argument. When's the Zman Achila? Today, tonight, tomorrow. So, when the Zman Achila is over, that means tomorrow night, it becomes noser. I should be able to burn it tomorrow night. Tama Lomar. And then again, contrary to that Hava, Amina, the Pasuk says, no, it's only becoming Nosar on the morning of the third day. So that means Tuesday morning it's Nosar. There becomes like a twilight period for this carbon, meaning that, let's say I brought the carbon today on Sunday, so tomorrow night I can't eat it, but I can't burn it. Right, I'm sure in Lumdus it's discussed. I don't know enough to say this, but I'm sure in Lumdus it's discussed tomorrow night. What's the status? Meaning, is it carbon I can't eat, or is it premature nosar that I just simply can't burn yet? But no nosar is not asubah. No, it's only asubah achila. So biyamatas sorfa viyata sorfa balayla. Okay, and again, point being made. Mi dekama yehinechal or lishlishi. Ama or ortahu shmamina. Again, another very clear proof that when the Brisa uses the word or, it means night. So Tashma the Gemara does this again. Right. And
Mishnah, it means night.
Yeah. It seems to be the simplest way to say it. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't just advance that. But I hear you. Tashma the Gemara says, come in here. Or shall Yom Kippurim. Here's another one. Okay, on the eve of Yom Kippur, meaning Maariv, what we would call Kol Nidre. So, Mispal Sheva Misvada. So, we go through the whole day of Yom Kippur. So, on the night, so we're going to daven Sheva, meaning not Shemona Esrei, because we're not going to put the Bakashas in the middle of Shemona Esrei. So, we're going to take away the 12/13 Bakashas, and we're going to insert just Kedusha Sayom. And we're also going to say Vidui, meaning every Shemona Esrei of Yom Kippur has a vidui. Shachris mispal sheva mizvada. Mosav mispal sheva mizvada. B'mincha mispal sheva mizvada. Ba'arvis, now what happens on Motzei Yom Kippur? By the way, what happens in Ne'ilah? So in our Girsa and our Gemara, Ne'ilah is not mentioned over here. I don't know why. On the margin and the side of the Gemara, it notes that. If you look at the complementary Gemara in Yuma, so it mentions Ne'ilah. I don't know why Ne'ilah is not in our Girsa. Okay. So, Ba'arvis, Mespalo, Me'ein Shmone Asar. And then Mariv, so Me'ein Shmone Asar, meaning not the full Shmone Asrei, but an abridged version of Shmone Asrei. Probably, okay, I'm going to take a wild guess, probably because we are Shmatas at that point in time. Meaning, right, why? We know this is not the halacha, the Gemara is about to say that's not the halacha. But just now, I'm explaining an opinion in the Gemara that says that main Shmona Esrei, meaning not the full Shmona Esrei, but an abridged version. The Gemara in Brachos teaches us there is such a thing. There's an abridged version of Shmona Esrei. So this Tana takes that position that you can do that on Motzei Yom Kippur, and I'd venture to say it's probably because we're exhausted at that point in time. Rabbi Chinan ben Gamliel Omer, Mishum Avosav, Mispal Shmona Esrei Shlemos. Nope, you got to, according to Rabbi Chinan ben Gamliel, you got to say the full Shmona Esrei on Motzei Yom Kippur. And really for a very technical reason, because we have to say Atachon Antanu, and you can't say Atachon Antanu in the abridged version of Shmona Esrei. If you remember, the Gemara Brachos asks a simple question. Why not? Why can't you? The Gemara, if I remember correctly, I did not look it up, I apologize. I think the Gemara really struggled to find an answer in terms of why not. But in the meantime, however, you have to say Atachon Antanu. Therefore, you need to say the full Shmona Esrei. And as you would imagine, that's what we do. That's the halacha. So anyway, but again, the point is, and the point is very clear, Ama or Orta Hushma Mina. Again, you look back at the beginning of that brisa, we said, on the eve of Yom Kippur, how did the brisa describe it? Or. So again, you see, the word or is a reference to night. Tashma, the Gemara says, let's do this again. Tetnid de Shmuel. We have a brisa taught us in the yeshiva of Shmuel, and the brisa reads, Leile arba asar bolkin es hachametz la'or haner. Now over here, it's not a proof that the word or means night. It's just a simple proof that the right time to do bedika is nighttime. He actually says the word Leile. Okay, so Alma or Ortahu. So now, when you plug that back into our Mishnah, now you know that our Mishnah is referring to nighttime. So, we're done. Meaning, that was a while. That took us through 8 psukim. And Stuart prepared me for today's daf. And 7 brisos we went through. So the now a total of 15 different rayas where, or, certainly amongst the Mishnahs and the brisos, or means night. So Allah, so now we go back to the first line of Gemara from yesterday's daf. Bein Ravuna, Bein Ravuna, Dekolei Alma, or Tohu. So the truth of the matter is that or means night. We know it. Velo pligi. And again, when we go back to that Yehuda Rav Huna machlokis, it's not a machlokis, says the Gemara. Marki Asrei and Marki Asrei, each one was expressing the Pshat and the Mishnah based on the way they talked in their community. But Asrei de Rav Huna karu nage. In other words, how did Rav Huna refer to night in his community? Nage. Now, even though the word nage means light, but that's how they refer to night. Night they called light. Euphemism. It was a euphemistic way of describing the night. And Rav Yehuda, they were a little more straightforward in the way they spoke. When they spoke about night, they said Lele. But they both were basically reflecting the idea that the Mishnah, when it says the word or, means night. And now that we're here, so now we can ask why. Meaning up until now, the Gemara was just explaining what. What does the word or mean? It means night. Good. I just summarized the last page and a half of Gemara. Okay. Now that we know what, now we can ask why. Why does the Mishnah use the word or to describe night when, quite frankly, it's misleading, it's confusing? So the Gemara says, "V'tani didam haitam lo k'tani laila, lishna ma'al Yehuda nakat." So our Mishnah was going for lishna ma'alya, meaning a pleasant way to say something, a nice way to say something. Night, I don't know, in other words, nighttime, it's not a pejorative term to say night, but still, in other words, it's dark. It's you can't see. So, in other words, just simply as a way of starting off the Masechta on a good note. You know, you'll almost see this all the time, except for Erevin. Yesterday was such a terrible example of this. But whenever Masechta ends, it ends like on a positive note, like, you know, a piece of Agadata, encouraging Agadata. So, like the end, usually Masechtos aim for like something uplifting, something nice. So the beginning of the Masechta also, right? Something uplifting, something nice. So and even though we're not speaking Agadah, we're speaking strictly Halacha, but still, for a Masechta to open up with the word night, I don't know how to say this in English, pasnish. It's just not appropriate. So therefore, that's what Rav Yehuda Anasi was shooting for when he started off our Masechta with the word or. Lishna ma'al Yehuda nakat. Uchda Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Damar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, la'olam ha'yitzi adam davar maguna mipiv. A person should not say something inappropriate. So now the Gemara is going to cite examples in the Torah where, and not just the Torah, throughout Tanakh, where you see that people are choosing the words carefully. The Torah is choosing its words carefully so as not to say something inappropriate. Shenamar. So one example is by Noach. Mina behema tahora. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Noah, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take animals onto the Teva. You're going to take animals which are Tahora and animals which are Tamea. But that's not what the Torah says. I spoke, quote unquote, inappropriately. Well, I'll come back to discuss that in just a second. But what does the Torah say? Min ha-behema Tahora, u-min ha-behema asher einena Tahora. Okay. And so it's Tahora and it's not Tahora. That's how the Torah refers to the animals brought onto the table. By the way, you think about it. By Noah, what does that mean? Tahora, inena tahora. Meaning there's no hilchos kashrus. Meaning Noah was not prohibited from eating non-kosher animals. Okay, maybe Avram and Achai. but there's no differentiation between a kosher animal and non-kosher animal. So what's the difference? It's a simple question, by the way. What's the difference between Tahara versus Einena Tahara? Yeah, it's a tough question. So the simple pshat would be what could be offered on a Mizbech versus what can't be offered on a Mizbech. That would be the simple pshat. But anyway, what you see is that the Torah, instead of choosing the word Tamea, chooses the word Tahara. Rapapa Amar Teisha. And Rapapa, and basically now we're going to go through a number of examples where the Torah deviated from, instead of saying the word Tamea or saying something which is unseemly, the Torah chooses a less inappropriate term. The obvious question over here is, okay, so for the one time that the Torah says the words Einena Tahara, you know how many times the Torah says the word Tamea? I mean, again and again. So someone suggested to me that also. In other words, this is the first time usage of the word Tamea. I didn't research it enough. I don't know if that's true. It sounds right. Could be. I heard, I don't have a source for this, and I don't think this is a contemporary suggestion. I think this goes back to the Rishonim. Although I don't have a Makor, I apologize. But I heard that Noach becomes a great case study because it doesn't impact us halachically. Meaning for us, meaning halacha lamaisa. Well, what difference does it make whether Noach took kosher animals, not kosher animals, whatever that even means? Meaning it doesn't impact us halachically. So when the Torah is speaking in a non-halachic format, so say Tahara and say Einena Tahara. But when the Torah is giving us directive of here's what you eat and here's what you don't eat, so the Torah does not want to equivocate. The Torah wants to give it to us very straight. You see that animal? That's Tahara. You see that animal? That's Tamea. So, in speaking in halachic terminology to us, so the Torah is going to be absolutely clear. But in Noach terminology, where for us it doesn't really matter, so therefore the Torah is going to say Tahara and Einena Tahara. I heard that pshat, and I want to give credit. I don't know who to give credit to.
Sachim is halachic, though.
Huh?
Yeah,
in other words, yeah, you're right. And that pshat is wonderful in the Torah, but now, right, or la or basar, you're right. Okay, it's a good point, Danny.
Why is the word Naila used
by
Hashem?
It says by Boker, by Erev, right, and okay, maybe Erev is different than Laila? Okay, another good question. So anyway, so the Minabahema Torah, Minabahema Sherinen Tahora. Rav Papa Amateisha Shenemar Kiyabacha Isha Sher Loya Tahor. Mikra Laila. The Torah over here is talking about when we're out going out to war. And we're going out to war, so we have an encampment of soldiers. And the Torah over there says, first of all, if you have to go to the bathroom, so the Torah says you have to go outside the machane, cover that which exited you. Okay. And the Torah also goes on to say, and what if one of the soldiers had Mikra Laila, nocturnal emission. So he also has to leave the machane. It's interesting. It's talking about soldiers at war. But the Shekhinah is right there. And because the Shekhinah is right there, so therefore he can't stay in the machane. He has to exit. He has to tov on the mikvah. Okay. So,
for one day.
Yeah. Right. So, how does the Torah describe it? Kiyah b'chaish asher lo yeh tahor mikra laila. He's not tahor. And again, why can't the Torah just simply say the word tameh? So once again, you see that the Torah deviates in order to arrive at cleaner language. Ravina Amar Eser Vav de Tahor. Now Ravina makes one very small adjustment, which is, it's not 9 letters that were deviated, it's actually 10 letters that were deviated. The word Tahor, he's of the opinion, is Male. Sounds like the previous opinions thought that it was Chaser. Correct? Could be they're disagreeing whether the word is Male or Chaser. Okay. Rav Acher bar Yaakov Amar Sheshesrei Shenemar. I'll show you an example in Tanakh where the Navi added 16 letters in order to speak in a more seemly manner. Ki Amar, this is now Yonasan trying to explain why David's not at the Seuda. Right? Machar Chodesh, is that when we land this Haftarah? Yeah. Ki Amar Mikrohu Bilti Tahorhu Ki Lo Tahor. So Yohanan explains to his father, you know why David's not here? Because he's Tamei. But that's not what he says. He says, Bilti Tahorhu, Kilo Tahor. So instead of saying all that, Yohanan could have just simply said he's Tamei, spoken in a more appropriate language, in a more seemly language. Tanya Debe Rav Yishmael Olam Yisaper Adam Balash Nikia. So person should always speak Lashon Nekiyah, meaning try to choose your words carefully and always use cleaner language when trying to articulate a point. Sharei b'zav karo merkav, by azav, when the Torah describes azav sitting on the sandals, on a saddle, so the way the Torah depicts him on the saddle is merkav. He's saddling. However, v'isha karu moshav. And then when the woman's sitting on the saddle, so the Torah doesn't say that she is merkav, or whatever the proper female conjugation would be, but rather the Torah says moshav. Right? She's sitting on the saddle, but her legs are not straddled over the saddle. Meaning, it may be that's how she rides the animal, but the Torah doesn't want to describe it that way. It's just not appropriate. It's not a proper imagery. So therefore, the Torah says the words moshav. The Omer and just other places in Tanakh where the Navi tells us that we should be careful about the way we speak. The Omer v'tivcha lashon arumim. You should be careful the way you choose your words. The Omer v'dasif se barur milelu. Another pasuk from Eov. Two pasukim from Eov. That you should be careful about the words that you say. My v'omer, okay, that's important, but why have to give us more psukim that speak to this very same idea? V'chite mehani milabadaraisa, perhaps. This requirement to choose words carefully, maybe that's a Tanakh idea, that you should choose your words carefully. But the Chachamim, when they're giving over halacha, there's no requirement for them to speak carefully. Avabidurabanan. The Gemara over here doesn't mean dini derabanan. The Rabbanan over here, as Rashi explains, just simply means when you're learning Mishnayos and Braisos, meaning when you are Belashon HaChachamim, so you also need to choose your words carefully, lo tashma. That's the second pasuk. That's the pasuk of V'tivchar Lashon Arumim. Right, Rashi explains the word Arum over here means not deceitful, but smart. Meaning the smart people are going to choose their language carefully. That's a reference to the Chachamim. What if we're not learning? Meaning, what if we're not reading Tanakh? What if we're not reading? We're not learning Divrei Chachamim. But what if we're engaged in just simple conversation? So that's the next pasuk in Iyov. V'dasif se baru milelu. So that pasuk comes to tell us that even in simple conversation between one person and another, choose the words appropriately. Lashon Nekiyah. Use clean language. Don't use vulgar language. The Gemara goes on. Uveishalo v'ksiv ba merkav. Really, in all of Tanakh, you never see the word merkav used by a woman. V'aksiv v'atakam rivka v'narosav v'tir kavna al hagamalim. So by Rivka, the Torah describes how she was rochev al hagamal. So, rochevet. So hasa mishum b'isusa de gamalim orchehi. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's different because there she's riding a camel. And it's terrifying to ride a camel. Right? I've done this. I've ridden on a camel. I'm gonna agree. Not that the Gemara needs me to agree, but it's terrifying. So in other words, it's such normal behavior for people to saddle up on a camel. So there, we're just going to use the term that's normal. V'aksi v'ikach Moshe zishav v'zmana v'yikivem ala chamor. Okay, Tzipora also was rocheves ala chamor. And the Navi, I'm sorry, the Torah describes her as being Rechev Ezal HaChamor, Hasam, we're on the top of the next Amrod, Mishum Banav Or Chahu. Yeah, but she's going with her sons, so again, it's normal. If a woman's riding together with her sons and making sure that her sons are sitting on the donkey, so there she's also Rechev Ezal. It's a normal practice for her to do. So again, the Torah's not gonna give something which is, the Torah wants to speak appropriately, but also the Torah wants to speak candidly, meaning, and what's normal. So under these circumstances, because it's normal for a woman to be rocheves ala gamal, because it's normal for a woman, when with her children, to be rocheves ala chamor, so the Torah is going to also speak in terms of what actually happened. V'aksi v'hi rocheves ala chamor, so the Gemara goes to Shmuel Aleph, towards the end of Shmuel Aleph, we are now by Avigail. Avigail's rocheves ala chamor, as she's approaching David, where she's pleading from David not to kill her husband. The Hasam Ishum Be Isusa Delilah Orchu. So the Gemara here gives a number of suggestions. could be that it was nighttime, so she was scared. So therefore, it's normal for even women to saddle on a donkey at night. Another suggestion, she was scared to approach David. In other words, she was petitioning David. It was a frightful position. So in other words, that also engendered more fear. That's why she saddled the donkey. Another suggestion of the Gemara, or she was going up or down a mountain. So in other words, it was an incline. She needed a better hold of the animal, so therefore she saddled the animal. Okay. The Gemara here asked the question, which basically I asked earlier, but the Gemara says, really, the Torah never says the words tamei. So the Gemara says, when all things are equal, meaning, if we're not going to expend any extra words or even letters, so then go with Lashon Nekiya. However, kol hecha dinafishin mili, but if we're going to speak cleanly, but it's going to be expensive, and by expensive I mean it's going to take longer to articulate the idea, so then we should go with mishtai b'lashon katsara. We're going to go with the shortened language. In other words, again, cost analysis, we do this all the time in the Gemara, meaning that you have to take into consideration, yes, we want to speak b'lashon nekiya, but also we want to make the point succinctly. So, if all things are equal, Lashon Nekiya. However, if it's expensive, meaning it's going to take me longer to articulate the point, then Lashon Katsara, and I'm going to use the somewhat unseemly language of Tamei. Kedam Ravuna Amirav Amirla Amiravuna Amirav Mishum Rabbi Meir Lo Mishana Adam Tamido Derech Katsara. Really, when speaking and teaching, you should do so as succinctly as possible. Get the point across, period. So the Gemara says, okay, but we had Rocheves, we had Yosheves, and it's the same number of letters, so why not just simply say Yosheves as opposed to Rocheves? So the Gemara's answer, interesting answer, Rocheves Ksiv. Yeah, but Rocheves is without the Vav, and so therefore there is cost saving by one letter, so therefore Rocheves is a shorter way to make the point, and yes, it's a little more unseemly, but we do save a letter. Rashi and Tosfos both are bothered by the obvious question. Yosheves could have been written without a Vav, so really, is there a benefit? And Rashi and Tosfos both answer, yeah, there's a benefit. For reasons, you could take a look at Rashi, you could take a look at Tosfos as well. The word Yosheves without a Vav may have led us to a incorrect conclusion. You could see Tosfos who tries to explain how that's so. Okay. Okay, good. So, when all said and done now, the Gemara, because our Mishnah uses the word or, which generally speaking means light, but our Mishnah meant it obviously as night, why did our Mishnah choose the word or? And the answer is Lashon Nekiya. And basically then the Gemara segued into a discussion of, generally speaking, be careful. Be careful about the way we speak. The Torah is careful. The Chachamim are careful. Even in our conversation between one person and another, not Torah-based, we should also be careful to speak Lashon Nekiya in a clean language, an appropriate language. And then the Gemara says, but also in learning, you also have to keep into consideration that you want to make your point succinct. So if there's a way to be clean, do so, but if it's at the expense of being long, so go shorter, even though you're going to have to use somewhat more, not vulgar language, but just more direct language in order to make your point. Okay. Hanutre Tamidei, Dehavayasve Kame Dehila, V'chaimina Rav Yochem and Zakkai. So the Gemara is going to tell a story about a Talmud in front of his Rebbe. Now the first version has it that Rav Yochem and Zakkai in front of Hillel. Or another version has it that it's Rav Yochanan in front of Rebbe. So whoever the players in the story are, the point is going to be basically the same. Now this is a halacha in Tum and Tahara, and basically the halacha goes like this. Did I skip? Okay. Let me go back to the previous story. Hanu Tre Tamide. apologize. Hanu trei tamid davi yasri kame derav. Chanamar. Okay. Right. The two stories are going to basically be parallel one another, but okay. The first story has it that one says Chanamar shivisinan haishmaita kedava acher misantkan. They both went through a long shear. Right, I'm too young. I never sat in the Rav Shir. Ask anyone who sat in the Rav Shir. Right, it was a 3-hour ordeal. Right, everybody was drained after Shir. Okay, this is reported to me by many of his Talmidim. So basically these Amorayim were describing Shir, and they basically said, "I'm drained. I'm wiped out." The word misankan, you can take a look at Rashi. Rashi explains that the word misankan basically means I'm worn out. So, but it's interesting. One of the students said, "I'm like a worn out." Davar Acher. We know Davar Acher in the Gemara always refers to a pig. Okay. So he describes himself as being a worn-out pig. Okay, strange imagery. I don't fully understand it. But anyway, that's how he described himself. And the other says, I'm a worn-out goat. Okay, now, both of them are comparing themselves to animals, but the point, of course, being that one of them described himself, compared himself to a chazir. Okay. Again, just inappropriate. Okay, distasteful. Veloi shai Rav bahadid dahaych. And so Rav never spoke directly to that student again. Next story. Hanu trei tamid adav yasve kame dehillel. V'chad minah Rav Yochanan Zakeh v'amila kame derebi v'chad minah Rav Yochanan. Okay, so who exactly were the players in the story? So again, two different versions. Chanam rami mei ma botzim betara ve'in moskim betara v'chanam rami mei ma botzim betara u'moskim betumah. Now, both of them are making the identical same point, however, and let me first go over what the point is, and then we'll talk about the differences between how they said it. When you're harvesting the olives, right, the word moskin is a reference to a harvest of olives. So when you're harvesting olives, so there's going to be a little juice that comes out of the olive. In the world of Tuma Tahara, you can ignore that juice. That juice that comes out is not shemen. We know that in order for food to become susceptible to tumah, it first has to go through the process of hechsher, machshirin. It has to come into contact with one of the seven liquids. One of the seven liquids is shemen zayis, olive oil. But olive oil means pressed olives, where I'm extracting the juice. If you have a little juice that comes out of the olive during the process of harvesting, that's not shemen. It's what the Rashi describes as being moel. It's a little secretion, but it's not shemen. Therefore, the olives are not susceptible to tumah. Therefore, when you're harvesting olives, you don't have to be in a state of tahara, because the olives are not going to become tummy. Good.
Tal is a
machshir.
So you're saying
if he's doing the olives, yeah. Yes, yeah. But, and always keep in mind, by the way, like the rule of machshirin is it has to be beratzon. So in other words, if the tal came on organically and you didn't want it there, so that's not going to be a machshir. Okay. So anyway, so and both of these students who were sitting in front of either Rav Yochanan, either in front of Beis Hillel or in front of Rebbe, were basically making this point. One said it in a lashon nekiya, and the other one said it just again more directly. Right? You look go back over the two statements. Mimnei ma botzim b'tahara ve'ein moskin b'tahara. Okay, and the other student, the way he said it is mimnei ma botzim b'tahara u'moskin b'tumah. It's the same point. Just one said it b'tahara, and the other one says b'tumah. So Amar muftach ani b'zeh shemora hora b'Yisrael. So he pointed to one of them. It's interesting, by the way. I'll be honest with you. The Gemara doesn't identify which one. Right? You could make an argument. It's the one who said tumah, and the reason why I say that is because. Even though he said tumah, you know what he did? He said it more succinctly. But I don't think that's a simple pshat in the Gemara. I think the simple pshat in the Gemara is that he pointed to the one who said it, who said ein moskin b'tahara, because again he was more clean in his language. V'lo yamim muatim ad shahora hora'a b'Yisrael, and he became a posik. Okay, another story. Hanu tlasa kahane. There were three kohanim. They were talking about, they were asking for the lechem upon him. We know at the end of the week, after the Kohen does his service in the Beis HaMikdash, so what's his going away prize, his take home prize, is that he gets a portion of the lechem upon him. Lechem upon him is taken off the Shulchan on Shabbos, And so each one gets a portion. Each kohen was asking for a portion. So one kohen says, "Higiani kapul. I'll take the lechem upon him the size of a bean." He didn't ask for a whole lot. Chanamar higiani kezayis. Then the next one asked for a little bit more. Okay, but he wanted the volume of an aleph. V'chanamar higiani kezanav hata'al. And the third one said, "I would like a portion of the lechem upon him equivalent to the tail of a lizard." Right? First of all, just a... it's a strange animal. And number two, and I think more to the point, it's not kosher. And he wanted the amount of a tail of a lizard. So, you know, can you imagine the three of them now having the conversation, and now all of them turn to the third guy. What? What did you say? So, batku acharav umatsu bo shemetz pasal. So, they did a background check on this third guy. Okay, he flagged, meaning I know nowadays in our security checkpoints we don't discriminate, but here he just red flagged, right, with the way he spoke. And so they did a background check on him, and it did not come out good. And in other words, it turns out that he had tainted lineage. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, Vayin Bokim and Mizbech Valamala. Gemara says, once the Kohen's doing a voda, that's it. No more background checks, meaning if he's there, that means that he's cleared. So just because he's spoken appropriately now, that's going to red flag him, and that's going to require a background check? So lo tema shemetz pasul, ela ema shachat pasul. So the Gemara says, you're right. There was no background check that was done on him, but rather, because he showed such a distasteful way of speaking, so therefore he wasn't fit to serve anymore. They didn't do a background check on him, but at the same time they said to him, you're just not qualified. You're not invited back. The ibay zemeshani asam di udar denafshe. Or the Gemara says, no, we can go back to that first girsa. We can actually say shemetz pasul, which means that they did a background check on him. Why? We normally don't. Yeah, you're right. We normally don't. But once this person on his own forwarded this inappropriate talk, so that basically that was enough of a red flag. Where basically they said, okay, we don't normally background check at this point in time. Here we are going to background check. Hahu har ma'a. Those of you who are here for Pesach, you already heard me speak about this Gemara on Pesach. Hahu har ma'a davasal v'achab sachem Yerushalayim. A non-Jew went up to Yerushalayim and ate carbon Pesach. Amar k'siv kol ben echa lo yochal bo, kol ara lo yochal bo. Now there are a number of psukim, parshas bo, that talk about how a non-Jew cannot eat carbon Pesach. Okay, prohibited to do so. Va'ana, and this particular non-Jew flaunted how he went up to Yerushalayim and he ate Karban Pesach. Va'ana kachlin b'shufrei shufrei. This is an interesting side discussion which we're not going to entertain right now. In other words, he just went in and he said, "Hi, I'm entitled," and they all nodded and they said, "Fine." Which, according to the simple pshat in the Gemara, is exactly what happened. Okay, so that deserves its own discussion, but not now. So Amalei Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra mikasafu lecha me'alya. So, Rav Yehuda ben Becerra says to him in a conversation, "Well, you know, let me ask you this: did they give you the tail of the carbon Pesach?" So Amar Lo. So he said, "No." So Kisalak Talahasim. So Rav Yehuda ben Becerra says, "Look, next year in Yerushalayim, when you go up there, I'm telling you, you should ask for the tail. It's the best part of the carbon Pesach." Emalu Safuli Me'ayam. So okay. So this guy says to Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, "Great advice. I'm going to be with you." Now, if you're not in on it already, so let me give you some inside information. That is, nobody gets the tail. The tail is fat. The tail is chelev. The tail is burnt on the mizbeach. So to ask for the tail means that basically you're not an insider. You didn't know that information. So kisalak amalu me'alya safuli. So he goes up to Yerushalayim and he asks the Karban Pesach, but he says, "This year I want the tail." So they say to him, "Oh, what? What are you asking for? The tail? No. Nobody gets the tail. It goes on the Mizbech." Man Amalach Hachi. So they ask this non-Jew, "Well, who asked you to ask for the tail?" So Amrulehu Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. So he said, "Well, what do you mean? Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra asked me." Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra was one of the Gedolei Hador. They understood now that by him telling the non-Jew to ask for the tail, basically he was trying to red flag this guy, and he was successful. Amru Maihai de Kaman. So they said, this is all too strange. Badku Basrei. So once again, now they did a background check on him. Vashkechu de Arma'ahu. And it turns out, not a Jew. Vikatlu'u, and they killed him. Okay. Shachul el Rav Yehuda ben Beserah, Shamlecha Rav Yehuda ben Beserah. So they sent a letter to Rav Yehuda ben Beserah. Rav Yehuda ben Beserah, you are unbelievable. At Benitzivan, you're in the town of Netzivan, Umitzuda Secha Prusav Yerushalayim, and meanwhile, your net is spread over Yerushalayim, meaning you were able to help us ensnare and trap this non-Jew for eating Karban Pesach. I'll end today with a really simple question. There are really two simple questions that I can ask right now, but I'll just stick right now with Tosfos. Two Pesachs ago, I spoke about this. So I ask a really simple question. Rav Yehuda ben Beserah, why wasn't he in Yerushalayim? Right? Meaning, it was obviously, it was Zman Beis HaMikdash. It was obviously during the time when Karban Pesach was eaten, obviously. And why was he in Netzivan, and why wasn't he in Yerushalayim? To simply inform the Kohanim that this guy's not Jewish. Tosfos is bothered by this question. Tosfos gives three unusual answers. I'm going to go through the three answers of Tosfos, and we'll end that for today. So Tosfos says, answer number one, by the way, second to last Tosfos on the Amud. Tosfos says, Yesh lo mishalo yelo karka. So Tosfos' first answer is he's not a landowner. And therefore what? Okay. Every answer of Tosfos needs its own shear. Oh, zaken hayashena yochol alech baraglov depatami Pesach kamo meri'iya. Another answer, says Tosfos, is, well, he couldn't walk. He was old, he was infirmed, he couldn't walk. Now we know that if you cannot walk, you're exempt from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. And Tosfos then makes the jump. Well, if you're exempt from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, so you're also exempt from Karban Pesach as well. That's Tosfos' answer number two. Tosfos' answer number three, fascinating answer. Inami netzivan chutza aretz hi. Your Yehuda ben Beserah lived in Netzivan, which was chutz aretz. And because he was living in Chutz Aretz, he was also exempt from Karban Pesach. Okay. Interesting answers, strange answers, all needing more. Okay, so what do we do today? So A, we concluded today that the Mishnah once said the word or, it means night. Okay, and we know the Bedikas Chametz is done at night. The Gemara then segued into a beautiful discussion that when we speak to one another, we should do so B'lashon Nekiya. We should make sure that we keep our language clean. The Gemara gave a number of stories of Talmidim, students learning in Beis Medrash, who did not keep the language clean, and consequences for that. And then the Gemara ended off today with a really unbelievable story about the non-Jew eating Karban Pesach and the smarts and wisdom of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserah.